And one thing that we are wondering is, at the end of yesterday, we sent you out with a little bit of a task and are wondering, a lot of you dropped in that you were going to do the love map. So we're wondering, is there one thing that you learned about your spouse or rediscovered, some new discovery that you made as you were working through that process? And so, if you're brave, go ahead and drop that in the chat for us.
Love hearing from you. So just kind of to start off and to kick us off, what have you learned about each other? What's happened so far? While you're doing that, I'm going to recap just kind of what we've gone through so far, because we're looking at five different stages of relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And probably every relationship's going to hit all of these stages at some point. We talk about this icy stage, and it can be a long stage, or it can just be a moment of that cold, that iciness. In Minnesota, we know that cold hurts. And same thing with that ice in relationships. Mm-hmm. That can hurt. We talked about that thawing phase, where things are starting to just kind of heat up. There's that tipping point where there's that reconnection. You're coming back together. Mm-hmm. Then we're diving back into that, getting that spark back. And I think that's what everybody's talking about right now is, hey, these are some of our spark moments. My wife still loves sushi. Love it. My husband still doesn't want to travel. And you know, those are great. Those are all love map things where you've got that mental image of just who your loved one is, likes, dislikes, friends, preferences. And that's so important.
Yeah. So now today we're going to move past the icy a little bit, and we're into that, that sparking relationship.
Yeah. So I've got one more question. Get ready to type in the chat again. And this time I want you to think of just one of those connected moments, an engaged, warm, caring, connected moment when that spark was there. And see if you can sum it up in a word or two. How would you describe that spark?
How would you describe it?
Well, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to. I love that you asked that. All right. So while you're thinking, go ahead and type those in as you do. And I'm going to give you the word that I'd use. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a word, together. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorite stories. And it really ties into this idea that we talked about yesterday of this love bank and making tiny penny deposits and how that compounds. Mm-hmm. And we shared yesterday the idea of, you know, do you take a $1 million check now if you ever have this offer, or a penny a day, doubled a day, every day for 30 days? And of course, the right answer is go for that penny, right? Is a penny the first day, to the second, for the next, eight the next, but over time you get that exponential growth. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened to us. And I still remember our very first date, first time I met you, and we met through an online dating site. So our very first date was on Coronado Island, and we went out to a tiny pizzeria. Do you remember?
I do.
Yeah. Dinner went great. And afterwards, I asked if you wanted to go for a walk. Jenny said yes. My heart skipped a beat. And the two of us began to walk down just along the bay. Sunset, it was absolutely gorgeous. Somebody says, online dating, woot woot, I love it. And I thought, this is going to be the perfect evening. And then as soon as the sun went down, it got cold fast. And I hadn't told you to bring a jacket. And I'm thinking, oh no, our date's gonna end quick. And so I look over and sure enough, you're shivering. And I ask if you wanna go back. And do you remember what you said?
No.
No, I'm fine, just very sweet. I'm like, yes, we get to hang out a little bit longer. And so we keep walking. And I look over again. And next time I look over, Jenny's got goosebumps running up and down both arms. I'm thinking, well, I think I want to see you again. And I don't want you to freeze on our first date. So I ask a second time, hey, do you want to turn around and go back? It looks like you're cold. And again, just a very sweet, no, I'm fine. Let's keep walking. Well, we keep walking and everything's going fantastic. But when I glance over a third time, not only are you shivering, not only do you have goosebumps running up and down your arm, I'm pretty sure you're starting to turn blue too. I'm thinking, okay, we've got to turn around. And so I ask a third time and it was a, no, I'm fine. Let's keep going. And at the end of that date, I just remember thinking, wow, she wanted to be with me more than she wanted to not be cold. And that was that tiny penny deposit from our very first date. And I probably told that story, what, 30, 40, 50 yeah. times. You're like, Jed, I'm tired of hearing it. You know, but every time I tell that story, I light up, I get excited. And it's kind of one of those things happened one time, one moment in time, mm-hmm. but it's up here forever. Like I think about that moment a lot.
Yeah. And when we talk to couples, what we hear a lot is that you have that story of that time where you felt bonded, you felt connected, you feel good, right? And that really is when that relationship is starting to spark. And often that happens during the dating relationship and pretty early on. I'm also kind of scrolling. I'm going to go back to this question, these affirming, one, comfortable, free, cherished, electric. I like that. Warmth, understood. So all of those feeling words of just that connection. Right. And really, really good words there. I love that.
Well, and those are the moments. Those are those penny deposits mm-hmm. that years later you're going back to and you're thinking, oh yeah, that's it. You know, mm-hmm. the affirming, the eerily comfortable. I like that. That's a fun phrase. You know, cherished, electric, love those words. And those are the deposits that build up over and over. And so the key is not necessarily giant, big moments, but it's small things often. Mm-hmm. Because when we leave in the morning, sometimes it's a whirlwind with four kids getting everybody the bus, rush out the door. Last thing do is, hey, honey, I love you. Have a good day. You know, whenever I think of us and coming home, it's, oh yeah, Jenny loves me. Having a good day. Now, if the last words are harsh and tense, that replays too over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it really is about those tiny moments that just continue to play in our mind. And so you might think, well, it's a one penny deposit. Well, no, that, you know, statement, those words are making deposits over and over and over again. And oh, go ahead.
No, I just was going to say that. And that's really when we're talking about moving from those icy relationships into those sparking relationships, it's really recalling what that feeling was, kind of allowing that feeling to build, and then knowing what was it that caused that feeling to build and replicating it, right? So whatever was causing you to feel connected, when you think back to those moments of times that you have felt good, felt connected, felt warmth, felt electric, felt affirmed, what was happening in that moment, what kind of a deposit was being made, and replicate that several times, right? To do it again and again and again and make those deposits, so bring those feelings back into that relationship.
As a kind of key verse with it, yeah. I put down Galatians 6:9, and it really is about doing the same things over and over and over again. So Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so just thinking about getting that spark back, it's the small things often, over and over and over and over again. So I love this quote.
I never know how to say the name though. So you have to say the name.
Yeah, so his last name is McLaughlin, and it sounds like a French name, like, right? Is it?
Yeah.
Beyond.
Sure, we'll go with that. All right. But he says a successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person. And I think that really rings true for us, right? Is it's falling in love. And I think that's replicated like in our relationship with God the Father, right? And so when we think about the Bible kind of as his love letter to us and just that falling in love, that feeling again, that coming into relationship again and again and again. And that really is what is required for a successful marriage, successful relationship.
Yeah. All right. So we said one action step with each one.
And although we cheated and gave it to you early.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So this one was our top 10 conversation starters. So you might have already done this, you know, yesterday after we talked about the love maps, but these are, we mentioned when we were engaged, we bought several books where we were going through and just having fun getting to know each other at a different level. And these are some of the questions that kind of spiked as our most popular in a couple of books that Jed wrote later, really piggybacking on our feeling of being connected and having fun and dreaming and thinking about our life together and planning while we went through those questions. And so he created this book, and we can actually see which questions get highlighted then the most in the online books. And so these are the top 10 that were taken away. So if you haven't already dove into this, this is a great place to kind of start those conversations and start bringing that spark back. Just that idea of, again, even a little deeper than the love map, but getting to know each other, having fun, diving into the questions and just letting that conversation flow.
And we had a whole lot of fun with these.
We did.
Do you remember we did these in coffee shops,
yeah,
during dinner dates, over coffee, at bonfires, at the beach. And really, again, it's one of those things where there's no really right or wrong way to do it, so long as you're drawing closer together. You know, if you're having side conversations, if you're laughing, if you're engaging, then you're absolutely doing it right, because the whole point is to connect. And so I love the engagement. I love hearing from you. My question is, where's your favorite place to connect? You know, when you think about going back, and if you're going to use this, just as a relationship building tool, and this is a fun date. Mm-hmm. In fact, that is why we ended up writing these books, is because we had so much fun doing it. It was, hey, how can we add to this conversation?
Right. And so I think for us, that looks like taking it along to a coffee shop, you know, or when we're out and we're walking together, we are those people that are on a walk and pull out a book and start asking each other questions and connecting that way.
All right. So where's your favorite place to connect? Put it in the chat. Love to know. For us, it was the bonfires. It was the coffee. It was really before dinner, after dinner. Love it. Nighttime walks after the kids are in bed. That's a great one.
In nature, on a hike.
Wow. Bike ride. Love that. All right. So let's move into on Zoom. That is a new place to connect, right?
Eating out. I love that one. Without the kids, that is key. Yeah. To really diving into those deep conversations without the kids, so that you are uninterrupted, and also having conversations that are not about the kids, right? We talk about our kids all the time, right? And so finding other things to connect about, because our relationship can't be just about them. They're pretty awesome, but not just about them, right? We have to build on other things too.
All right. My favorite one, work ditch day without the kids. Yes. Hopefully boss isn't watching, but.
Yes. We should say we did that one time. We did a work ditch day, only because we're in Minnesota. Wouldn't you know, they call a snow day and you have to come and pick up early. And so too bad for us.
All right. So let's dive into kind of this next one, the red and white hot, because this is where it gets fun, right?
Yeah.
And so relationships going through stages, there will be times where it's cold and it's disconnected and it hurts. And hopefully kind of move through that quick though, and move back to that spark coming back. Mm-hmm. And then even to that red and white hot. Mm-hmm. And again, kind of a definite tipping point too with fire, where that spark turns into a flame. And it takes a lot of heat. I didn't realize it, but looked it up. You know, you're really into the 1,000-degree temperature here. And suddenly that spark turns into a flame.
So we talk about your red and white hot marriage being as your love is now kind of a weird, we call it a weird story, right? And the story about, you know, there's our guys, you know, they go into the store to pick up some flowers and they kind of look at the flowers, look at the guy and, ooh, what did you do wrong today? Right. And so often that is like when we are getting a gift or doing something and it's not Valentine's Day, it's not one of these special kind of occasion days that gift sometimes can be because we're trying to repair a harm, right? That something has happened. There's a disconnect in the relationship. And so we talk about the, like, your love is weird story because you're the guy in the store buying the flowers because you wanted to, just yeah. because it's today. And because that's what I knew that was going to make her happy. And I went to go do that. Right.
When I had a friend who actually had this happen and he was telling me how he went to just pick up a gift for his wife just because. And an older gentleman, and he got to the checkout line, and that's all he had were the flowers. And the young clerk who was checking him out looked at the flowers, looked at him, looked at the flowers, looked at him, and said, "Dude, what did you do?" And he said, "Jed, I was getting these flowers just because I love my wife. I was thinking of her." And so, if your love has reached that point where you care about each other so much, other people look at you and think it's weird, you're absolutely doing it right. That's what red hot love looks like, right? And so having that weird love story is a good thing. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got a key verse for this one too.
Yeah, here we are looking at Mark 10, verse 8. Do you have it open? If you want to open, all right, Mark 10, verse 8.
Yeah.
And it says, "And the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh."
So really that idea of joining together. Mm-hmm. And here's what I love is just being a therapist. I've got to take continuing education units from other therapists. And occasionally there's Christians, but many are unbelievers. And so I was taking a course on marriage and connection and relationship with a lady who's not a believer. She's teaching this course. And as she's teaching, she's talking about marriage and relationship and connection. And she says this. She says, you know, when a couple's really in love, when they're really connected, it's almost like the two become one. I said, "Wait a minute. I've heard that before." You know, we really are, God said it first, we're God designed to connect, to be in relationships. That's how God hardwired us. And as we spend time together, as we grow, it's almost like two become one. So there was a pastor, and this is my quote for this. His name was Peter Marshall, and he would call marriage the highest halls of human happiness. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit yesterday where our study, one of my favorite, says that being in a happy relationship, it feels like getting $100,000 raise a year at work. Mm-hmm. And what a cool thing, $100,000 in happiness bucks just from that connection. You know, God really does know how we're hardwired. We're made to connect. We're made to be in relationships. I think this is important because I've noticed more and more people who really are just going nonstop, you know, and I think they know it. Nowadays, you can work nonstop. You can keep going and going and going and going. You don't have to turn it off. And we've seen people, both of us, who make it financially by all outward appearances. They look like they've got everything and then stuff crashes and burns at home.
Yeah. Yep. And so really kind of looking like you have it to have everything together and are being so successful here, but you can tell when there's a disconnect, right? Because that feeling, when I am disconnected, we can put up all our pretty Facebook pictures, right? And have an Instagram worthy life, but you feel that, you physically feel that disconnect. And so the opposite is true when you're in that red hot or that white hot kind of flame. The opposite is true, that you feel connected. You feel in sync. You feel, I'm going to use your guys' own warmth. You feel that warmth. You feel electric. You feel cherished, right? And so you're just in that connection phase. And really here, where we talked before about during those icier times in relationships, we're looking for five deposits for every one withdrawal in that love bank, right? Here we're looking more at about 20 deposits for everyone, because we're so connected, because we're kind of in sync, we're feeling good, right? The relationship is going, we're putting in a lot of deposits, right? And that's going to serve us later when there are times that we kind of hit a road bump, or life us, or something happens, and now we need to take out more deposits. I shouldn't say we need to. We don't need to. They happen, right? And that's just kind of the reality of life, is that there's going to be those ups and downs. And so this is the part in our relationship where we talked about yesterday, is not getting complacent. So still, if you want to, or if you're in that spot and you want to stay there, being intentional, being on purpose about reaching out, making sure that those connections are happening, and they're happening a lot. And it at this point feels easy, right? It feels like, well, I don't really need to think about it, but that is kind of a dangerous position to be in. When I'm not on purpose and connecting, it's just as easy for those things to slide. We talk a lot about some of the things that we tell you, or we talk about these tiny habits, these tiny connection habits, and they're so simple. They're really, really simple, right? But they're not always easy.
Doing them again. So the cool thing is, you know, as we share some of these tools and ideas with you, we're doing them ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to like this, because when I show the tool that we picked for this one, it really is what we did today.
Yeah, literally today.
And so when I thought, well, what's going to be most helpful for couples really in this, you know, red hot stage, how do you keep that going? How do you take that to the next level? This is what we did. A lot of couples we know feel like that computer browser with 100 internet windows open. Mm-hmm. Open one more and everything's going to come crashing down.
Right. Yeah. And so we want to make sure that we're kind of closing those. Right? We're closing those tabs. We're staying focused. We talked yesterday about when you're focused on one thing, when you're intentional and on purpose and you're focused and driven on that one thing, you're 80% more likely to achieve it than if you were, you know, focused on two, if your attention is split between two different things. So in our closing loops challenge, this is really the time where you are thriving, you are connected, you are feeling good. This is the time to close loops. And what we mean by that is really ending projects, right? And so the reality is we are busy. We are busy people, everyone. and when we are in moments in our relationship where we're feeling disconnect because of that pain, and because of the way our body responds to that disconnect, we are often less productive, right? We talked about that in our research as far as business people, knowing that when they're having conflict at home, when there's trouble at home in their relationship, in their marriage, that we know that they are less productive at work, and we can put a dollar amount to that, how much it's going to cost the company for that person to be struggling in their relationship at home. And the opposite is true when you're thriving in those relationships, that you are, you really have that kind of fire burning, right? And we see a incredible increase in productivity. And so this is a great opportunity to take advantage and start finishing projects.
So let's talk about how this challenge works, because it really is kind of a to-do list. If you're looking at it and you're like, wait a minute, that's a to-do. It is. And the whole idea is this, you know, when there's a gazillion projects going, I can sit down with you for dinner and we're physically together, but my brain's here and here and here and here. And so the whole thing is closing the loops, ending the project so that you and I are free to connect. And there's two words that I love, and I think we love. One is connectication, which is this idea of communication and connection. Mm-hmm. So really any type of doing life together, that's just bringing you joy. Connectication to me is doing life side by side. It's playing games. It's going on walks. It's eating out without the kids. It's having that work ditch day. It's going on those mini vacations and laughing together. So us guys, we love connectication, that side by side, but it's even more fun when you're mentally there, when you're mentally engaged and focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we mentioned that this kind of played out for us today. And it did, because we had gotten kind of overwhelmed and it had exploded in projects all over our house. And so we quite literally used our Closing Loops Challenge ourselves and just started, because as we were attempting to kind of connect and spend some time together this morning, I was very literally looking around and wandering away in the middle of conversations to put things away and do. Hopefully I'm not the only like multitasking mom out there, right? But when I can look around me and I can see all the things that need to be done and I have all the mental clutter, it's very difficult to turn that off and focus on the relationship. Calm that chaos and really communicate for the purpose of connection, not just to touch base about what we need to do today, right? And so being present, being focused, and really allowing that space to close a couple loops so that we were able to spend time together and truly connect.
Yeah. So guys love that, the connectication. I love it when you do life side by side to me, but we have this other word that we love, and it's, we call it into me see. It's a play on that word intimacy. And sometimes into me see does lead to intimacy, the physical stuff. But really, this word into me see is about peering into each other's inner world. And I hear, you know, both guys and girls enjoy this, but I would say girls especially, this tends to resonate. Guys, we do life side by side, basketball court, sports. Girls typically do life face to face. Coffee shops, phones, just that eye-to-eye connection. And we need both. It's not one's better than the other. Intimacy is all about peering into each other's inner world. It's about allowing yourself to be known and really digging deep into that person's inner world.
Yeah. And I feel like we should pause right there, because this is a tip too, for if you're feeling like a little bit of disconnect is happening. So for women, we like to be oriented. We like to be, well, you know, right here, face to face. Typically we're generalizing, right? So you might not, you might say, no, that doesn't resonate with me, and that's fine. But in general, women tend to be more this way oriented, and men are side by side. So if I'm feeling a disconnect from Jed and I'm trying to get him to connect with me and this isn't working, a really good trick is to take him on a walk, or when he wants to go for a jog to, it's like my least favorite thing in the world to do, but here we go. We're going on a jog because now he's going to talk, because this is more comfortable for him. And when I join him in an activity that he enjoys and we're shoulder to shoulder, he is more likely to connect than if I try to make him do face to face.
Well, and I like this. Like, I love the face to face. And a lot of times it's like good for about 10 minutes, right? Guys will say, yes. And after that, okay, let's play a game. Let's go for it. But there's a little more intensity to it. And so if that into me see, if that's not your go-to, the challenge might be to push yourself and do that face-to-face, that sharing your inner world a little bit more.
Yeah. there's also a reason we don't talk about connectication and intimacy until we get to that, you know, white hot and red hot flame. And that really is because this is vulnerable, right? That when I am communicating for the purpose of connection, there is opportunity for rejection. You're in a vulnerable stance again. And the same with the intimacy that really requires for me, you know, to be vulnerable and open. And again, that's risk. You know, there's risk always involved in that. And of course we have trust in our spouse that the truth is that there is a vulnerable stance there. And that's why we really see this thrive in those times when we're connected. When there's disconnect, there's more opportunity for hurt in that vulnerable stance.
And that's part of the closing loops too, because if you are sharing your heart with me, if you are sharing your inner world and my face is glazed over, if I'm mentally at work, you know, that's not going to communicate to you. That's not going to fill your love bank, I'm guessing, right?
No, and that was pretty much what happened today. It's like Jed was talking to me and I literally walked into a different room and started doing something. It was like, I'm still listening, you know, but it wasn't that connection that we were seeking in that moment. And so being able to recognize that and say, okay, pause, let's close a couple loops so we can stay focused.
All right. So I want to read through a few more of these, because these are great. So just the idea of where do you connect and where are your favorite places to connect? And a lot of familiar ones, nighttime walks, Zoom. Zoom is by far my favorite, the new normal. All right. So let's dive into our last one. And this one was new to me, but just kind of doing that fire research. It's okay, what's next? How hot can fire get? And just like kind of Googled and said, hey, how cold can it get? And man, Antarctica gets cold. I was curious about the opposite extreme. Hey, how hot can it get? And at that 26,000 to 3,000 degree place, fire turns blue. How cool is that? And so there's a quote that we love about marriage. And really, when it gets to this place of that connectication, that intimacy, and it comes from Aubrey Hepburn, and she said this.
She defines her idea of marriage like this. If I get married, I want to be very married. So we think about that as like the elusive blue flame blonde, that you are very married now, right?
And so for me, that means having fun, enjoying it, saying I'm all in and I'm committed to this adventure. I'm enjoying this adventure. And we're going to see really how good this can get. Mm-hmm. Now we've got a verse for this one. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down, but this is kind of an odd one. But again, I think very appropriate. So if you've got your Bibles for, you know, this super hot, very connected couple, thinking, what words of encouragement, what advice, what's that key area of focus? We chose John 16:33, which sounds weird, but looking at it, you and I, we both thought, man, this is what you need to do when you're very connected. So John 16:33, Jesus said this. He's talking to his disciples, and he said, I've told you these things that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And we chose that, visit that piece of, in this world, you will have trouble. And there is no this side of heaven, riding off in the sunset, happily ever after, never to have trouble again. That's just not the reality until Jesus comes back. And so we thought, man, when things are going great, that's a good time to prepare for the storms that eventually are going to come. Mm-hmm. I mean, what better time to start planning for it? And we've got a special word that we use for it that comes from our story, a time that we went through one of the storms. And so we encourage couples to create soft landings. And it's something that probably about 5 years ago when we were going through a tough time, your dad gave us this word.
Yeah.
And then since then, we built it in. And this is one of those stories that has special meaning for you. So you've got to tell it.
So like Jess said, we were going through just a really difficult time as a family, one that was really stretching us and just all the things were happening. And it was a highly emotional, and it was dragging on for it was a long season.
Pause there for a minute, because we were a part of just an amazing home group in a church at this time. And there was one night where you and I, we were on the way, and we're just like, there's no way we're going to be able to even make it through the night. We walked in and said, guys, we're just here to tell our story quick if we can, and would you pray for us? And then we're just going to go, because we're feeling that overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And such an amazing home group.
Yeah. So yesterday we mentioned too, like when you're in those places of having a difficult season that you're walking through, really having that mentor couple, having a home group, having a somebody that you are connected to who can pray with you, pray for you, and really, you know, sometimes mentor through some of the difficult things because they've been there and they have some wisdom in that. Right. And so we were so blessed to have that at that period of time and for them to just stop and pray with us. And then we also had family at that point in time. We knew we were going to be moving. We were moving from San Diego to Minnesota because we're crazy. And the process of getting there was really, really difficult. And my parents are here in Minnesota. They were getting our house ready because we bought it sight unseen. We're attempting to get ready for this move. And my dad would call, and it would be hard, hard days that we were walking through. And that feeling of being disconnected from the people who were helping us. See, I'm going to cry again. I cry every time I say it. He would call on those hard days and just encourage us and pray with us and say, you know, you can do anything. You can do these hard things for a short time. We've got a soft place for you to land. And they were preparing this place for us to come. We had a soft place to land. And so you can go through these seasons that are hard and knowing that I have people that are going to support me. I have a God who loves me, who's preparing a place for us, right? And in that same way, we sometimes replicate and try to kind of build that in. So we try to create these soft landings for our family now, because that was such a powerful part of the closing of that story for us, was having that place where we could land, we could be cared for, and we could start to heal from some of the things that had happened over that past year.
Yeah. So just to dive a little bit deeper into that, you know, we put together just a one-page sheet, kind of a quick start guide for soft landings. And if you're in that place where you're saying, man, things are going good now, one, celebrate. That's huge. You know, this marriage is worth celebrating. Next thing is, talk about some of those soft landings, because Jesus did say, in this world, you will have trouble. And so planning, preparing ahead. And we build in a couple different types of soft landings into our relationship. We have daily soft landings, kind of mini ones. You know, we've got kind of those weekly or monthly soft landings, ones that are a little bit bigger. And then our quarterly or yearly soft landings, just a couple times that are longer times, at least once a year, where we're getting away, just the two of us, you know, yeah. Ideally more.
And really just to kind of put some practicality to this. So our daily soft landings look like Jed had mentioned earlier, his connection habit of closing and connecting. And so just having our coffee together weekly is that we attempt to do a date night. We're not perfect on this by any means. Those schedules can get out of control fast. And when we're not on purpose about it, it can be one of the first things to go, but really trying to stay on top of being intentional about getting away together once a week to have that date, even if it's a quick one. Even during the pandemic, it was sitting in our car because there was nowhere to go, but we were away from our kids, right? And able to have that connection spot. And then those quarterly or yearly soft landings, one with our kids is always taking a trip to a water park. It's something we do every year. It's you guys are going to laugh because we keep referencing, it's very cold here right now. It's like negative 45 right now. And so this season gets very long for us. When we hit February, we start to get really sick of the cold. So we always plan something for about March when we know we're about to go really crazy in our houses. So that's a soft landing where we take our kids. We all get to go to the water park and just kind of enjoy that. And then
our kids are asking about it already. Yeah, it's one of those things that they look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we try to plan for those seasons that we know are just, you know, even if they're not really challenging, that we know are a little more stressful. And then for us too, our anniversary is a kind of a yearly getaway that we know that that's coming and that's a reconnect for us. And so building those intentionally into our schedule.
All right, guys, this is where we'd love to hear from you already, because chances are you already have some soft landings. And one, this was also another excuse just to put a cute cat picture up there, right? Like, aw. But what are the soft landings you already have in place? Because chances are you're already doing this. You already have places where that's where you connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so really this is probably for a lot of couples, bringing a little more intentionality to what's already there. Now, one genius thing that you did early on is just said, hey, every night after the kids go to bed, that's our time. And that's another soft landing that we've built in to just kind of during the day, where end of the day, we end it together doing something.
Yeah, we made an exception for yesterday and today, but typically that's a no work time. After the kids go to bed, that is time for us to we're not closing loops. We're not, you know, working. That is connection. We're going to play games together. We're going to relax together, something like that.
And when the kids were small, really small, sometimes it was, bad as it sounds for a therapist and social workers to say, it was crashing on the couch, vegging out, relaxing, and just saying, we can't even move right now because we're that tired. Okay. And when you've got young kids, sometimes that's a soft landing is really, we can't do much more than sit together. So what are your soft landings? Put them in the chat. Where's your favorite place to land? Do you have a daily one? Do you have a weekly one?
We have quarterly family state of the unions. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely. All right, guys. And while you're doing that, one more question for you. What's going to be your next step? So kind of thinking about different stages and where you're at, hopefully you can pinpoint it and say, yeah, we're in that sparking stage, or we're in that red hot stage, or maybe it is, yeah, we're in that just kind of icy cold stage right now. And the whole thing is, what's the next step? You know, you don't have to go from icy cold to blue hot. What if you can just move up to that next stage, be a little bit more connected? All right. So while you're thinking about your next step, go ahead and write that in. Let's read some of these.
Yeah. So the quarterly state of the union, I love that. Weekday lunch, weekend milk tea, nighttime drinks, taking walks, hanging out with friends. Does that, yeah, that absolutely counts. Hanging out with friends absolutely counts. Long Saturday bike rides, us time after the kids are sleeping.
Love that.
So it really is doing what you're already doing and doing more of it, right? Doing it with intentionality, doing it on purpose, and then doing more of it.
Well, I think for us, it is key having even as some of those bigger ones built in and intentionally built in, because if we don't schedule it, it won't get done.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so important. And then those stressful times do come, and just knowing, okay, we can make it to the other side of this. Then we've got that soft place to land. Mm-hmm. Then we reconnect. And that's huge.
Good.
Yeah, daily catch up at the end of the workday.
I'm looking at the time and thinking, let's want to give you guys enough time for any questions. So I think we can wrap it up here. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Can I pray for us? And then let's dive into questions. Father, thank you just for tonight and for all of the amazing couples that came here. Father, thank you that you created us for relationship. Thank you for the gift of family, gift of marriage. Father, would you be with us? Help us to hold this sacred. Help us to draw closer to one another, draw closer to you. Father, would you bless our marriages and the rest of our night together? We love you. Amen.